part three of your 2015 reading. Eric Francis back with you. It is the morning of the 7th of April. And I have an astrology afterthought, kind of a large astrology afterthought. That is the Venus retrograde that takes place later this year. Venus is the second rock from the sun, and it is retrograde the least of all the planets. About 8% of the time, there's a retrograde that lasts a few weeks, I guess about 5 or so weeks every 18 months. So its speed and proximity to the Earth make it the least retrograde of all the planets. And so when it happens, that's something special. And this is an interesting Venus retrograde because there is a proximity to Mars. Mars is going to be right in the vicinity almost the whole time. You may have read in Cosmophilia that there are 3 Venus-Mars conjunctions this year. That's a relevant factor to the Venus retrograde and also a relevant factor to your life. There's a hint here of a working out process in a relationship. And through the process that's indicated in the astrology, the relationship goes through a series of phases and then winds up in a whole new place. You could look at those phases being as describable as a self-centered phase, where there is a sensation of two individuals who have their own agenda. And then in the second conjunction, which happens in Leo in the summer, there is a kind of a creative mission that is encountered. There is a joining in a way that did not exist at the beginning of this year. So there's a coming together on a creative purpose. That creative purpose can include sex, it can include making something, it can include some type of an experiment. This happens in Leo. It's your solar fifth house where Jupiter is, or where Jupiter will be for much of the year. And then in the third conjunction, let me get the dates on those. I did them for Cosmophilia, but I haven't looked at them lately for any other project. Venus conjunct Mars. First conjunction was First conjunction was way at the beginning of the year. I can't go back in time on this program. Second conjunction is September 5th. That's the one in Leo with Venus retrograde. So things are working toward, building toward this second conjunction right now. And that takes place in the midst of the Venus retrograde, or toward the end, actually, of the Venus retrograde. It's on September 1st, and the retrograde ends 5 days later in Leo in a close conjunction to Mars. And so there is it looks like the relationship seems to be going in one direction for much of the year. And then it looks like the person involved, some kind of a partner, if you're not currently with this person, you may already know them, has a kind of a reversal in direction, which would seem to be about a change of mind or change of attitude in some way. But then that somehow leads back to you in another form. The relationship is now in another form, but it's sort of in its mid form. So you could say under one scenario, there's, again, this is hypothetical, a love affair, and then there's not, and then there's a creative encounter of some kind that is on a different plane of reality, and then there's a change in direction, and there is a new kind of a meeting that becomes possible. And that new kind of meeting develops over time up until the end of the year, when there is a third conjunction on November 2nd. And at the time of the third conjunction, everything is different. The relationship seems to still exist. It seems to still exist, but with a different purpose. And that purpose may include certain facets of being together in the sense that we all want to be together with people in that intimate way, but actually the foundational purpose of the relationship has become about a healing process. So there is a gradual process of things being taken more seriously, of a purpose being defined. Now, because in the kind of 101 rules of divination, your sign is ruled by Mars. Whether you're male or female, you would be playing the role of Mars. And your partner, whether male or female, would be playing the role of Venus. And in this scenario, Venus seems to be a bit fickle. Venus wants to get together, then doesn't want to be together, then changes directions, then goes off on her own, then retreats into herself, then changes directions, and then comes back. And this is a classic situation in relationships. And the problem might arise where there is an expectation that things are going to stay the same. This is not a reasonable expectation on our planet, particularly at our time. We live on the planet of forever changes. We live on a planet where there is a constant dynamic, energies working on one another. Everything influences everything else. And so to have things, to expect things to be stable, to expect things to remain the same, and people to remain the same, is something that folks do plenty of, but there seems to be no rational basis for that expectation. And furthermore, that expectation, if unquestioned, can be very difficult. It can be very painful. Because people don't stay the same. And this journey that Venus is on is a journey of self-investigation. It is a journey of resolving things in the past, and it is about growth on a new, well, growth that takes a person from one level to another, and then with that, there's the option for the relationship to shift from one level to another. Okay, so what is your role in this? Well, first of all, where there is an opposite sign planet doing interesting things, you can study that as some expression of yourself. What is in your story being told by these movements of Venus? And you can sketch out the conjunctions. You know, it's a conjunction in Aries and the conjunction in Leo, conjunction in Virgo. Aries being all about oneself and a meeting of individuals with their own agendas. Meeting in Leo looks to me like it's more on a more involved with a sense of purpose that is still potentially a self-focused purpose, but where the theme has shifted to some kind of community need. Even if that community need is, let's do something creative together, Leo. Venus retrograde in that case. Third one in Virgo is saying there is work to be done. There is a healing purpose here. There is a deeper level of necessity. There is something about taking our lives seriously in a way that we haven't, and in a way that expands to a sense of wider service and purpose rather than just one's own personal needs. And whether this is about a relationship or just about you, there's a steady movement in that direction, and there's a shift in levels. And I think it's worth reminding us all that getting to that sense of purpose can take a journey. That journey can zigzag. It can have many phases, and there can be many decisions made, some of which reverse the previous one, then might reverse that one, when permission is given to change. So when we live in typical planet Earth state where there's no permission given to change, it's all going to just, everything's just always going to be the same forever. That's a mental construct, and the mental construct is there is no hope of things being different inside that box. And then it is possible to say, we don't need that box. It's not accurate, the description. The box is a description and or mental construct, and that's not an accurate mental construct. It doesn't reflect the environment and our inner needs. And it can take time to reach that observation and to engage oneself and to commit with that underlying reality. So this may be about you and it may be about someone else both, and I suggest that you allow yourself room to make a series of decisions and that you allow yourself the opportunity to change and go forward. One interesting thing I'll close this segment on is that Venus stations retrograde on July 25th, by the way, at about 5:30 in the morning, Eastern Daylight Time, and it does so in Virgo. So Venus makes it out into the very beginning of Virgo, then it stops there and backs up. It's going to be sitting in that first degree of Virgo for a little while. I don't have that tool in front of me, but easily a week or two be sitting in one place and or very close to it. And it is going to be in a conjunction to a point called Trans-Pluto. Trans-Pluto has a number of different manifestations. One manifestation of Trans-Pluto is that it is about something narrow. There is a self-defeating quality of Trans-Pluto often picked up from parents, and it can be very frustrating to be caught in that narrow self-defeating notion. Trans-Pluto is not Pluto. It's not really a planet. It's a hypothetical. That is to say, it's a point that exists only in mathematics and in the minds of some few astrologers. And the other thing about Trans-Pluto is that it points to something specific. So the key with Trans-Pluto is to ask yourself, what is the thing that this is about? What is the one thing that this is about? And my hunch is that though this process spans from beginning of the year when we had the first Venus-Mars conjunction to November, really close to the end of the year when we have the third Venus-Mars conjunction, that by the time Venus stations retrograde, you will know that thing. You will know the topic involved. And then there will be a discovery process connected with that. There will be an investigation or an inquiry or a set of lived experiences that allow you to experiment and or prove and disprove whatever might be up for discussion here. And I think that by the time Venus gets back to Virgo later in the year, that much I can check on this tool that I've got up. Positions, Venus arrives in the first degree of Virgo. By the time Venus arrives back in Virgo on October 8th, you will see this has all come full circle. And that the thing you thought was the thing was the thing. So remember that around July 25th when this topic, issue, whatever, focuses possibly to the degree of a little crisis. You're probably right. Then it's a question of what do you do about that? What action do you take? How do you use time? And I would say the thing to remember is let people make decisions, let yourself make decisions, and consider the possibilities as real things, as real possibilities. And give yourself some room to breathe, to maneuver, to move in that kind of time and space experimental zone. Got some tarot cards here. Let's do a quick tarot reading. See how these things look in pictures. This recording, by the way, if my calculations are correct, is my 60th birthday reading. That's kind of amazing. 5 years, 12 a year. Started in Portland, Maine in April of 2010. Right around the time of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. And I'm just shuffling this big collection of wandless cards. I've got two decks merged into one. So sometimes what happens is I will get the same card twice in one deck. There's some photos of this spread. I don't usually write down the cards, but you can see them. There's an article, if you poke around the page, about the spread that I use. And there's a tarot generator that Tracy programmed, nifty. Little bit of Tracy Delaney code handcraft. She's the editor of Serenu.com, and that uses the that spread uses the Rider-Waite tarot, the old one drawn by Pamela Coleman Smith, lovely woman who lived at the turn of the century. Alrighty, let's spread some cards out here using, again, the Voyager deck by James Wanless. I like to shuffle a lot and remove as many past patterns from the cards as possible, though, you know, tarot cards like patterns. I'm going to draw the cards face down then turn them over. The spread is a modification of the Celtic cross spread. It's kind of a streamlined modernization of the Celtic cross spread, an old spread that is the one that you'll read in most books. I redid this spread when I was working on a psychic hotline and had to work quickly and needed a kind of a clarified version of the Celtic cross. All right, card I turn over first is card 4, What You Want. Oh, look at that, art. Isn't that funny? If you recall the whole little discourse I gave on kind of how all roads lead to Jupiter in the fifth house, well worth playing. By the way, Jupiter changes signs later in the year. Over the summer, it goes to Virgo, along with Venus and Mars. And the transition of Leo to Virgo is, let's be creative and let's get serious about this. Let's run this art studio on a schedule and get some work product going. Whatever art studio that is for you, whether it's your pickling company, or your insurance office, or your pottery studio, or your painting studio, whatever it might be, the Virgo piece is saying, "Hey, the microphone just fell off the." Hold on 1 second. I'll be back. Good thing I have my hand on that. Okay, so whatever art studio that is, the art studio of your life, it would appear that your whole life is this kind of experimental zone right now with so many things pointing to Leo. Everything's pointing to Leo. It can be Venus-Mars conjunction and Jupiter's there and lots of factors. If you play back through, you'll see how the chart is organized that all roads point to Leo for you, and that's your art studio. And the card of what you want is art. Let's look at the first card, the Priestess. So when there's the Priestess, there's a mystery. It would appear that that mystery is you, that you're challenging yourself to the important, meaningful task of not knowing who you are. Or you may have discovered, wow, I am a vast and undisclosed mystery. I'm going to find out a little bit more about that. It would seem as if some other side of you is starting to emerge, that there's some chrysalis cracking open and a deeper self is emerging, and that self being the human who engages fully in creative process. Third card, basis of the situation, Man of Cups, Surfer. Good emotional movement here. This is a card of not being stuck, wound up, uptight, etc., etc. This is the opposite. Flowing energy, as well as there's a kind of a innocent bravery implied here, that you are, well, it's kind of a centaur with a flower. It's kind of half horse, half flower. It's pretty funny. All right. Confusion. Current state. Confusion. As my old friend Scott Kallikstein, who turned me on to lots of things, including the Course in Miracles, used to love to say, funny boy, confusion is the state before enlightenment. To which the cards reply, next card up is Fortune. So go ahead and be confused and be conscious in the midst of your confusion. Pay attention to how you feel confused and what you're confused by, and take notes on your confusion. Remember, too, that to confuse means to split apart, to unhinge, unstick. And you might ask yourself, what is unsticking you? And further, you might ask yourself if you really are unstuck, confused, because it would appear that if you are, that confusion is the kind of egg cracking open that is leading to a deeper revelation. All right, resistance, negative feelings. This card is nurturing. The card is inverted. I would say that if you are in any way struggling, the thing to do is eat some good food, remember your favorite nutritional supplements, and drink some water. Nurturing also takes other forms, whatever that might be. I would quickly go mad without guitar lessons. Whatever it is that works for you, remember, keep a list, pay attention to, be aware of that which nurtures you, and do it, and note if you are resisting that nourishment. Okay, we're up to the relationship sector here, and there are two cards in this sector. There's one in the Celtic crossbred. I've added two. Two's not much more than one, but it's twice as many as one. And these two cards are hinting at the outcome of the Venus retrograde, triple Venus-Mars conjunction process, feeler, and purity. You might think of purity not so much as purity, but as clarity. And nothing is really clear. I mean, if you could see how much dust is in the air, you might think that air was visible, like jello. But in any event, let's say clarity. And the implication of feeler plus clarity is that this Venus-Mars series of conjunctions and the Venus retrograde really does work out for you. So if you reach challenge spots with people, be patient. Ha ha. That's like the first joke in the Aries joke book. Be patient and give things not only time, but space. And space is intelligence. And we end the spread ending part one, I have a double ending to my spread. Outcome at current course and speed, harmony, eight of wands. Ease back a little, be chill, and allow yourself the notion that you don't really have that much to worry about, and a little confusion can be a helpful thing, because a little confusion can set you on a path of seeking. And it does appear that if you seek, you shall find. That's what the spread is saying. And that to allow your relationships room to see. Let's see what this last card is. It is dullness inverted. I'm going to choose another card to get some clarification on this. But the inverted piece, I don't leave all inverted cards inverted. I'm going to leave this one inverted. This one is saying that basically boredom isn't. Boredom is a null value. Now, for you, that's, you know, the human habanero pepper. You're not really bored that often. But remember that if you enter a phase of life that seems to be a bit lackluster, do something else. What we get as our alternative card, a nice one, Seer. One who sees visions, shaman, the one who experiments with consciousness, the one who bridges the two worlds. In this case, the sense of dullness and or boredom is like your cue to open your eyes and see. The senses are always delivering interesting information. The seer implies a different form of sensate. It is it certainly is rooted in the senses, but there is extra vision implied. A seer is someone who can see around corners and see onto the subtle planes, see the future, see the past, see things as they are not necessarily so obvious. This is you, and the opposite of being the seer is dullness or boredom. So therefore, work with that polarity. Work with that kind of sense of you have choices, and the choice that will work is always the choice to pay attention, to see, and therefore to have a basis of choosing. All right. Thank you. This has been awesome. Another tarot and astrology lesson for me. This is how I learn. This is the way to learn. Learn by doing. Experiment with these things. You will, seer, you know, guiding yourself is a beautiful thing. If you are looking for a written reading, I suggest you check Cosmophilia. We're going to drop the price of that. And 5,000, well, like 4,300 word reading, in case you like things in writing. I suggest you get that. There's also additional audio there. And I'll be back with some readings a bit later in the year. You're doing brilliantly, and I look forward to being in contact with you again soon. So thanks for listening. Stay in touch. By the way, there will be a Talk to Me session. We'll probably combine it with Pisces. That will be soon. Bring your questions about this reading, about the astrology that I have stated. Focus your questions. Listen to the reading again. Give it a couple of times. And focus your questions. We'll be back in touch with that Talk to Me session, a teleconference, basically included with this work, coming up soon. Thanks for listening. Bless. And bye for now.